Well, I found that a difficult one to try and speak on the Torah today. So I'm going to speak out of the whole piece that we have done out of 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 13. Because I've titled my message, Disciplining Sinners in the Messianic Community. Because I think it's important that we really look at that. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you that you give us what to say and what not to say. And we thank you for the words that you've given me for today. And I just pray, Abba Father, that they will be received according to your will, and that they will be received in a way that no one will take offence. We just ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So as I said, I wanted to look at a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 13. Believers are called to be to holy living, and no real believer should stand by and watch sin happening around them or allow someone else's weakness to weaken the Messianic community and perhaps ruin the Messianic community's testimony. And we have a testimony that's written on our website. The Messianic community at Corinth was not only a divided community, but it was also a disgraced community. There was sin in the congregation, everybody knew about it, but the leadership of the community was slow to do anything about it. No Messianic community is perfect, but human imperfection must never be an excuse for sin. Just as parents must discipline in love, Messianic congregational leaders must also discipline in love. And this is not done by judging. It is done through an application of restoring the sinner back to right living. Shaul gives people of Corinth three instructions, which I will go through with you. In verses 1 to 2, he says, be sad or mourn over the sin. I'm afraid when there's sin in the camp, Yah shows it to me very clearly. And he has done for many, many years. Number 2, in verses 3 to 5, he says, judge the sin. And in verses 6 to 13, he said, get rid of the sin. He didn't say get rid of the person. He says, get rid of the sin. And I believe this is good instructions for parents on disciplining children as well. So number 1, be sad or mourn over sin. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, it's actually being reported there is sexual sin among you. It is a sexual sin of a kind that is condemned by pagans. A man is living but with his stepmother, and you stay proud. Shouldn't you rather have felt some sadness that would have led you to remove from your company that man who has done this thing? Now, I'm not suggesting that this sexual sin is happening in our community at the moment, although we have had to discipline people within the community on a number of occasions on this subject, sexual sin. But it does happen in the world we live in. More so today than when this ministry commenced over 24 years ago. The most common sexual sin in churches today is in the area of children's ministry. Pedophilia is huge today, especially in the church, and where young people meet on a regular basis. Children are being groomed online through Disney movies that we have. They are so different to when I raised my children, who the youngest is now 50. Always, I'd take them to movies and Jiminy Cricket was there and he would sing songs like, always look on the bright side of life. And my 50-year-old son to this day still will bring that up to me, because we've been going through some health traumas within our family, and he will say, and losing loved ones, And he will say, "Mum, you always look on the bright side of life. You taught me that when I was young, and I've never forgotten it." It's, you know, it's a complete opposite of what we see in Disney movies today. Our children, of which we are blessed with many in our next generation, within this congregation, we need to protect them from the decadent world that we live in today. I believe our world is certainly no better or even worse than the time that the book of Corinthians was written. In verse 2 it says, "Shouldn't you rather have felt sadness?" Some verses, some versions say mourn, which is the word for mourning over the dead or having a deep sorrow. But instead of mourning, the people of Corinth were puffed up with pride. They were boasting that they were open-minded. You know, you're not open-minded enough, I kept being told. And that's where the world is at today. The Messianic community is judged on not being open-minded or not bowing down to the woke methods of adding our pronouns to our signatures on letters, not bowing down to worldly expectations, etc., in many areas of our lives. We certainly do not fit today's society norms. And this is why we must stay close together as a community, supporting one another as much as possible. The gay lesbian marriages were accepted in Australia 3 years ago. Countries in Israel and Jerusalem, they've accepted gay marriage. They also have gay rabbis. And it's enough to make any messianic believer mourn over that sin. I praise Yah, although Indonesia, a Muslim country, has higher morals than the West. And they have brought in a rule this week, that will jail people who live together outside of marriage. Russia, this week, banned the LGBTQ in their country and are in agreement with our moral standards. We are put down in this world if our opinions differ from the world, especially in the area of morality and when Torah based. We are put down by other doctrines who think Torah is putting us under a curse of the law and that they are free. We have to stay strong and we have to hold to our belief and to let others see the truth. The truth that the Torah has not been done away with at Golgotha. Only the curse of sin was done away with, not the Torah. And it's the sin that Yeshua has saved us from. The Torah shows us what sin is. And without the knowledge of Torah, we can't avoid sin. But once we know Torah, we can. And maybe in this world, but we are not of this world. We are definitely different from the world. The sin in Corinth was a form of incest, a man living with his stepmother. Saul doesn't pass judgment on the woman, so we can assume that she was not a believer. But the man knew better, apparently. This kind of sin was even condemned by pagan Gentiles at the time. The offending brother was dead as far as the things of Yehovah was concerned. He needed to be removed from the Messianic community. They could not even eat with him, and that is why we remove from our congregation those who we know are involved in sexual sin. Let me assure you that if ever the sexual sin occurred to a minor in our congregation, we would not hesitate to notify the correct authorities on that person. We would not stand for it in any way. We can praise Yah that we are blessed to have two beautiful young women who look after our children in the other room at this time, who love Yah and follow his Torah strongly. The second one was to judge the sin, not the man. In 1 Corinthians 5, verses 3 to 5, it says, "For I myself, even though I am absent physically, I am with you spiritually. And I have already judged the man who has done this as if I were present. In the name of Adonai Yeshua, when you are assembled with me present spiritually, and the power of Adonai Yeshua is among us, hand over such person to the adversary for his old nature to be destroyed, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of Yehovah." Believers are expected not to judge one another's motives, according to Matityahu or Matthew 7:1-5. It says, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. For the way you judge others is how you will be judged. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure you. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye, but not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' when you have first the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly, so that you can remove the splinter from your brother's eye." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 it says, "So don't pronounce judgment prematurely before Ha-Adon comes," or before the Lord comes, "for he will bring light to what is now hidden in darkness. He will expose the motives of the people's hearts. Then each will receive from Elohim whatever praise he deserves, but they are certainly expected to be honest about each other's conduct. Public sin must be publicly judged and condemned, not swept under the carpet. And Yeshua's instructions in Matityahu 18, verses 15 to 20 says, "Moreover, if your brother commits a sin against you, and go and show him his fault, but privately, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won back your brother. If he doesn't listen, take one or two brothers with you, so that every accusation can be supported by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to hear them, tell the congregation. And if he refuses to listen even to the congregation, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Yes, I tell you, people, that whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. To repeat, I tell you, that if two of you here on earth agree about anything people ask, it will be for them from my Father in heaven. For whoever, wherever two or three are assembled in my name, I am there with them." These words teach us how the disciplinary action must be taken. First in Matityahu, then in 1 Corinthians, notice the strong words of Sha'ul. Sha'ul says, "Remove from your company," in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 2. "Hand over such a person to the adversary," in 1 Corinthians 5, 5. "Get rid of the old hamatz, the sin, and support and expel the evildoer," in 5:13. Once the offender rejects repentance, the Messianic community is not to handle the matter gently. The next step is to get rid of the sin. According to the scripture that was read in 1 Corinthians 5, 5, "Get rid of the sin," tells us to hand such a person over to the adversary for his old nature to be destroyed, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of Yehovah. This day of Yehovah is the final judgment day. Notice it is the sin that has to go, not necessarily the person. It's only if the person will not repent and accept their discipline will they have to go. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 6-13, it says, "Your boasting is not good. Don't you know the saying, 'It takes only a little hametz to leaven a whole batch of dough'? Get rid of the old hametz so that you can be a new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened. For our Pesach lamb, HaMashiach, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder not with leftover hametz, but with the hummets of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth. In my earlier letter, I wrote to you not to associate with people who engage in sexual immorality. I didn't mean the sexually immoral people outside your community, or the greedy, or the thieves, or the idol worshippers, for then you would have to leave the world altogether. No, what I wrote to you was not to associate with anyone who is supposedly a brother who also engages in sexual immorality, is greedy, worships idols, is abusive, gets drunk or steals. With such a person, you shouldn't even eat. For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Isn't it those who are part of the community that you should be judging? Elohim will judge those who are outside. Just expel the evil doer from among yourselves. Left unchecked, sin in the Messianic community is like leaven. It is small but powerful. It puffs up the dough, it spreads through the whole loaf or the whole community. The Messianic community mustn't condemn those who are outside the faith. That judgment belongs to Yehovah and is in the future. But if we condemn them before they know of Torah, we will never win them to faith for them to learn Torah. But if we do have a responsibility to judge those who are inside the Messianic community, isn't it strange that we often find it easier to do the reverse? So many people will judge those outside rather than inside. It is the duty of the leadership of the Messianic ministers and the leadership team to work with the person and bring a turnaround in the life of that person who has sinned morally. The discipline may mean 3 months suspension from services, but in that time they will be cancelled and given the opportunity to prove they've repented and are back on track morally. But if they do not get back on track and they have not shown true repentance through association, then they will no longer be welcome until there is a turnaround in their behaviour. You might ask, well, why am I bringing this up at this time when no person has acted immorally? I'm looking to the future and letting you know how the wrongdoer will and should be treated. We are growing. We have up to 20 children in one service. We have, as I said, a wonderful, faithful team of faithful Torah observant workers for our youth and for our young children at the moment. But we must make sure that no child will ever be compromised in any way. This is one area in the churches where the wrong types of people come in looking clean cut and having all the right words, but ulterior motives in their hearts. I am not going to be here forever. And I need to train you to look for what to look for once I am gone. If I don't start training people now, it could be left too late. It is imperative that we don't keep company, that is, associate intimately or build up a relationship with someone who claims to be a believer but indulges in rebellion and sin. I had to do this in my single days before I was married to Malachi. There was a man who invited me out on a number of occasions from the church I was attending at the time. This man was strange in that each time I met him, he had changed his appearance in some way. On the third occasion, he had grown a beard, but he'd shaved all the hairs off his arms. And I went into prayer about him. His personality would change every time as well. So I went into prayer, and the Ruach HaKodesh showed me that he was homosexual. So when I challenged him with that, with what I was shown, he admitted it, but said it was too hard to stop and he did not want to go to counselling. I told him I could not be his friend or even have a cup of coffee with him. He was not disciplined through the church, as he did not come back to the church after I had challenged him on his behaviour in relation to the word of Yah. He was one of those who are wolves in sheep's clothing, that can trick a young person, an immature believer, or even seduce the young. Yah has put me through many experiences on this earth, and I praise him for it. They're not good experiences, but they've experiences that opened my eyes made me get into prayer and let Yah show me what's going on. Without those experiences, I would not be able to be alert to others, especially you and each and every one of you here, all of you online, who I love as my own children and want to protect as if you were my own children. Discipline is not easy, nor is it popular, but it is crucial. Yehovah can use it to restore an erring believer if he will do it properly. The man who this scripture was disciplining was eventually restored, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. And I'll read them for you. Now, if someone has been a cause of pain, it is not I whom he has pained, but in some measure I won't want to overstate it. I want to overstate it, all of you. I don't want to overstate it, all of you. For such a person, the punishment already imposed on him by the majority is sufficient, so that now you should do the opposite. Forgive him, encourage him, comfort him. Otherwise, such a person might be swallowed up in overwhelming depression. So I urge you to show that you really do love him. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would pass the test, to see if you would fully obey me. Anyone you forgive, I forgive too. For indeed, whatever I have forgiven, if there has been anything to forgive, has been for your sake in the presence of HaMashiach, so that you will not be taken advantage of by the adversary, for we are quite aware of his schemes. Every person who repents deserves restoration. We are blessed that there are no people within our community at the moment committing sexual sin. But there are people who know they are not following Torah to the best of their ability and falling back into bad habits that are definitely not good for their health. So as you know, I've said earlier, Hanukkah is the feast of dedication. It's the time to rededicate your life to Yehovah, to Yeshua, to his word. So if you want to be immersed between the 20th and the 27th when we do it, and to get rid of all those bad habits and rededicate your life to Yeshua and the observance of Torah, remembering that our bodies are the tabernacle of the Ruach HaKodesh. We will be holding that immersion ceremony at Bud's Beach. So if you let me know if you want to take part, your children want to take part, or whatever, please let me know and we will be happy to do it. Does anyone have any questions? I know I started late, but I went through it quickly so that we could finish on time. No questions? We will move on with the remembrance service.